I don't know about you, but the Lord said he wanted to do some things here today, and I believe I know what he wants to do, and I don't want to wait another minute. I want to get right at it. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, to the 5th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning to read in the 17th verse. Now, there's some people in the congregation this morning that are going to have miracles performed in their lives. Today, right now, before we leave here today. Now you listen carefully as the Word of God is proclaimed. I believe that this is God's very own Word. If you do, would you say amen?
Amen.
And it came to pass on a certain day. I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. As he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Jesus of Nazareth, the man of God, the Son of God, is in his earthly ministry. He's in a house one day and he is teaching the word of the Lord. The scripture says that the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were gathered from everywhere. They had what appears to be a major conference here, that the Jewish Pharisees and doctors of law, these are the scribes and those that were doctors or skilled, educated men in the Mosaic law. They were the ones who were the religious high muckety-mucks in the church of that day. And they all gathered together in a house, apparently, to discuss with Jesus these things which he said his Father had sent him to preach. And as he was there teaching and they were discussing, Luke records that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of God, not the power of any man, but the power of God, God's very own power, his very own ability was present in that house that day to heal these people. Now, who was God's power present to heal? It was present to heal them. Who them? The scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. The Word of God says that the power was present to heal long before they ever dropped that paralyzed man in on his couch through the tiling in the man's roof. The power was present to heal all of those people who were there that day. But the Scripture says that they didn't get healed. Verse number 26 tells us that their declaration, even after they saw the miracle power of God, they said, "We have seen strange things today. We didn't get any of it, but we saw it. It didn't happen to us, but we saw it happen to a paralyzed man." The power of God was present in that place that day to heal them, but not one of them got healed. Not a single one received the benefit of the power of God. Not one of the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law had any benefit whatsoever from this wonderful, magnificent ability that God had deposited there that day. Now, why was the power of God present in the place that day? It was present because Jesus was there, but more significantly, it was present because the Word of God was being taught that day. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, "And He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them out from their destructions." It's the Word of God and the proclamation of the Word of God that causes the healing power of God to be present. If you're here this morning in this room, the Word of God is going forth. Do you know what's present in this place today? The power of Almighty God is in this place today. The power of God is everywhere in this place. It's so strong that I couldn't wait to preach. The power of God is so heavy in this place that I couldn't wait another 5 minutes, let alone another 20. The power of the Lord is in this place today. Because the Word is going forth. It's the teaching of the Word that causes the power. I look in the congregation. I see the power of God falling on people in this congregation right now just while I'm talking. I haven't even got started yet. But the power of God is just dropping on people whose hearts are open to Him already this morning. The power of God's here. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 says, Paul said this. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. I'm not ashamed of God's word because it is the power of God." What is? The word of the Lord is the power of God unto salvation to all of them who believe. Unfortunately, there that day, the word of God was in powerful manifestation in that place, but here was a whole house full of religious people. And all they did was see. Not a one of them got. Not a single one obtained the benefit of God's power. Only that one paralyzed man. Verse number 18 tells us that as they were talking and the power of the Lord was present in the place to heal them, behold, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy. Here is a man who is paralyzed, can't move. And he had some friends. And they brought him to the house. That day they heard that Jesus was there. And as they brought him, they couldn't get him in. They wanted to get Jesus in the house, but they couldn't. But they did not do as many do today and said, "Well, I guess God doesn't want me to get healed. I guess we'll go home and we'll come another day. I guess it's not the will of the Lord that I get healed. I know Jesus is in there, and I know He's got the power. I know it's present in that place to heal, but I guess it just must not be God's will. If it was God's will, He would have an alleyway made for me so that I could slip right into the house. I guess if it was the will of God, I'd be able to just bip-bop right in there and Jesus laid hands on me and boom, I'd just get it and I'd come out." No, no. Praise God, He wasn't like many of us are today. He was bound and determined He was going to get His healing. Now the Scripture says that Jesus saw the faith of the men that brought Him. Verse number 20, "And when He saw their faith," I want you to know that paralyzed man had some faith too. You don't let some guys drag you up on a man's rooftop and tear his roof apart and let you down in the middle of a crowd where there's a bunch of religious people there, doctors of the law, and here you are with your bare paralyzed face hanging out in the middle of that house. You got to have some faith, brother. And the men that would go up on top of the man's house and rip his roof apart in order to find a way to let him down, they've got to have some faith, don't you know it? Well, I had a healing call this morning, but there were so many people there, I just couldn't get close, and so I just decided not to go. You know what happens in services like, do you know what most people do in services like this? When I get, I'm going to give an invitation. And some of you are going to get healed. As many of you as will act like this paralyzed man, you can get it this morning. I mean right now. But some of you are going to sit in your chair, you're going to say, well, I'll wait till someone else goes down. And if someone else goes down, when I see them down there, then I'll go. Or I'll wait and see if somebody receives something, and if they do, then I'll go. I guarantee you won't get anything. I can guarantee it won't happen to you. You've got to have the kind of faith that this man had to go up on the top of that roof and jerk the tiles off that man's house, off his roof, and let yourself down into the midst where Jesus is. Look over with me in the book of Galatians, chapter number 3. I want you to see something. I'm convinced that many Christians, most Christians, I should say, are not receiving from God for the pure and simple reason that they're waiting for God to do something. They're waiting for God to do something. God's already done it. He's already done it. He already laid your sicknesses and He already laid your infirmities on Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price for your healing. He's already provided a cure for you and for me. He's already done it. And this morning, He is causing His Word to be proclaimed. He's causing the Word of the Lord to go forth. And there's healing power in this auditorium today. There's power in this place today to heal every infirmity and to heal every disease that you ever had or ever will have or ever think you could possibly have. I'll tell you what, if the same God that is here this morning could reach down into the dirt and take up a little handful of dust and could form it together and blow on it and make something look like you and look like me, that's some kind of a miracle worker. He's got the power to remake you too. He's got it. The power of the Lord was present in that place. And I want you to see that there was only one man who made a demand or made a call or a claim on that power. There's electricity in this building. There's electrical power in this building. But I want you to know that if our ushers had not turned on the light switch this morning, you'd be sitting in the dark. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could sit here in the dark and cry out all you want. But until you get up and go and hit the switch and make a demand on the electrical power, you'll stay in the dark. And it's the same way with the power of God. It's present here this morning, but you've got to make a claim for it. You've got to ask for it. You've got to make a demand on it. You must flip the switch. And when we flip the switch, God's power is released. Do you know what we get? Healed. In the same way that when you hit that switch, you get light. When you hit the switch of faith, you get healing from God, or you get salvation from Him, or you get deliverance from Him. You get the power of God released into your circumstance, no matter what it is. Now watch this over in Galatians. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number, let's start reading at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How did you get saved? By the works of the law? Or by hearing with faith? By hearing with faith. All right, look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How are miracles wrought in the body of Christ? By the hearing of faith. Now, beloved, if you need a miracle in your life, don't you go looking for a miracle worker. You've already met a miracle worker if you've met Jesus Christ. You already know Him personally. Don't go running around looking for miracle workers. Hear the Word of God with faith. and make a demand upon the miracle power of God, and you can have it in your life in the same way that you received the new birth, in the same way that you received the Holy Ghost. Did some miracle worker give that to you? No. No, no. You heard the word preached. You made a demand upon the power of God. Bless the Lord, you became a new creation. Then you heard the word preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you heard that word with faith. You made demand upon the ability of God. You made demand and claim upon the power of God. Next thing you know, you're talking in tongues and rejoicing and praising and magnifying God in the Spirit. And it's exactly the same thing, beloved. It's the same power that saves is the same power that heals. And the power of God is present. It's here. And we must just make claim on it, make demand on it, lay our hands on it by faith. Over in Romans, the first chapter, in the 17th verse. We quoted the 16th just a moment ago, and the 16th verse is a good one for us to look at again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. For it is the power. God's word is his power. It's the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation means everything you need from God. It means the new birth, it means empowering, it means healing, it means deliverance, it means prosperity, whatever it is. But guess who it is the power of God for? For everyone that believeth. Not just everyone that heareth, but everyone that believeth. The word is the power. For therein, verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's the hearing of faith that causes miracles to be worked. It's the hearing of faith that causes the power of God to come and be made manifest among us. Hebrews chapter number 4. Tells us very clearly, the tail end of the third chapter and the beginning of the fourth of the book of Hebrews. Paul is talking about the children of Israel, and he's declaring about how they did not enter the promised land, and he's describing why they didn't enter the promised land. In verse number 19 of the chapter 3, he says, so we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. It wasn't because God couldn't do it, and it wasn't because he wouldn't do it. It's because they would not believe in the ability of God. They would not make a claim upon the power of God that was then present. And because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith, they did not enter into the land of promise. Verse number 1 and 2 of the fourth chapter reads as follows. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let's be careful, lest we make the same mistake. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. We've heard the word, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word of God was being taught that day in that house. And all of the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law that were hearing the word in which was the power of God, it did not profit them. It didn't profit them because they wouldn't believe what it was that they were hearing. Until here comes a paralyzed man with his few friends who decided to believe that Jesus Christ could heal, that the power of God could get their friend delivered, and they let him down through the roof of that house. Having made demand upon the power of God, Jesus first forgave his sins. Look at it. Luke 5, once again. Verse number 20. When he saw their faith, Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scripture does not tell us, but apparently this man was burdened with his sins. For Jesus to perceive that and give him, first of all, forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. Now, of course, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law that were standing about, they were not concerned about this man getting his sins forgiven. They were concerned about accusing Jesus. They were concerned about judging what the man was doing. And they accused Jesus of blasphemy, saying, "Who can forgive sins but God?" Unfortunately, these men did not know the Scriptures, because long before Jesus was ever born, long before Jesus was ever teaching in that house that day, the psalmist said in Psalm 103, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." Hundreds of years before, God had made a provision for the forgiveness of man's sin. He had made a provision for the healing of men's bodies. But people were too busy and they were too bound up in their tradition, and they did not understand the word of the Lord that he had spoken. The psalmist already had said in Psalm 103 that he does not treat us after our iniquities, but he has removed our iniquities as far from us as the east is from the west. And here were these Pharisees and these intelligent muckety-mucks, and they were so concerned about having this man still bound under the power of his sin. But a man came named Jesus came along, and he knew the word of his God, and he knew the power of his God. And he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." God already said so. God already said so. Psalm 103, read it for yourself, man. Your sins are forgiven. And your diseases are also healed. Is it right or not? Amen. Way back in Exodus, the Lord God spoke to his children. He said, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee." This is not the first time God had become healer or forgiver. As they were arguing in their hearts, Jesus, with a word of knowledge, perceived what was in their hearts, and he said, "What do you think it's easier to do? Is it easier to say, 'Man, your sins are forgiven,' or is it easier to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" Very important principle here. He said, "So that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he looked over at the man that was sick of the palsy, and he said, "Rise and take up your bed and walk." And what he's saying to those Pharisees is the same thing that he's saying to you, beloved. He's saying it's the same power that heals your body is the same one that forgave you of your sins. It's no more difficult for God to heal your body than it is to forgive your sin. It's no more problem to him. It's the same power. It's the same word. It's the same ability. If he can wash your heart clean from sin, he can also wash your body free from illness and free from infirmity. The Bible tells us that not only did he pay the price for our sins, but he also bore stripes on him, which paid the price for our sicknesses. And in order to prove that that was the case, he said, "Man, get up and walk." Now, many of us have been successful in perceiving the Word of God to this point. Right here, we miss it. We've made demand upon the power of God. We've heard the word go forth and we've believed what was said. We've made demand and claim upon the power of God by releasing our faith. We've mixed our faith with what we've heard. We've decided to believe God. We've been anointed with oil. We've had hands laid on us. We've had the prayer of agreement prayed for us, but nothing happened to us. Well, I want you to know nothing happened to this man either. Did you hear me? Nothing happened to this man either. Read it. Verse 25, Jesus had just said in verse 24, "Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." Now, he didn't say, "You're healed." Did he? He didn't say, "Your paralysis is gone." What did he say? "Get up on your feet. Arise." He gave the man a command. If you really believe that this power will work for you, then get up off your feet or get up off your couch. And I read the next verse. It's very carefully recorded. And it says, "And immediately," not after he had thought about it a half an hour, not after he had screwed up enough faith to make it work, but immediately, right then, when the word of God was spoken to him and the command was given, immediately he rose. Now, what does your Bible say about who rose? He rose. Does it say anybody picked him up? Does it say anybody helped him up? It says immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house glorifying God. He obeyed the word of the Lord. He put action to his faith. He got up and walked off. Now you say to me, well, he was healed. That's why he was able to get up. No, he got up, then he was healed. So you got it backwards. He rose and then he took up his bed. I want to just confirm that with you. Go over to Acts chapter 14. So many times, you see, you pray for people who are sick and they say, well, just go on and get up. Well, I can't. Well, I can't. Yeah, they'll stay that way. When you believe, beloved, you'll get up. Or you'll do whatever it is you couldn't do before. Now listen, there's a principle here that God Almighty wants us to get established. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour it out. But we're going to have to know how to receive it. Otherwise, you get drowned. God wants to give, but he just not going to open up the top of your head and dump it in any more than he saved you that way. He saved you with your response of faith. You made a claim upon the power of God, and you got a new life on the inside of you. And you can get whatever else it is that's promised in God's word by making the same claim. This is something we've got to get a hold of. How does a man work miracles among you? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith, of course. Acts chapter 14, look at this one. Verse number 8, this is the Apostle Paul. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now this is a man, not a boy. He's a man, we don't know how old he is, but as long as he's lived, he's never walked. His feet have no power in them. To be impotent means to be powerless. He had no ability to walk, and he'd been that way since the day he was born. The same heard Paul speak. Now guess what was present when Paul was speaking the word? The power of the Lord was present, you see, in the same way it was back here in Luke 5 and the same way it is today, beloved. The power of God's right in this place. Same way it was there. Who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, Paul looked at him. He was watching him while he was preaching and while he was teaching, and he could see that the man had faith. He could just perceive it. And when he saw that he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." Now guess what happened? And he leaped and walked. Now, I had always read this, probably as you did, all these scriptures, kind of like this. Well, Paul said, stand up and walk, that was the power of healing that was flowing to the man. He got healed. He felt the healing in his body, and he jumped up and walked. That's not what happened at all. That's not what happened at all. The word there, leaped, means to jump or to spring up. He sprang up, and then he walked. He believed the word that was said to him. And when he got up off his feet, then the power of God energized his body, and then he walked. I want you to know, if he hadn't sprung up off his feet, he'd still be laying there when Paul was preaching or when Paul was saying the benediction. And he could say, like these Pharisees, "Oh, wow, we have seen strange and wonderful things today. Isn't it magnificent?" Magnificent, all right, but he got it and we didn't. Now we're seeing this happen in our own fellowship. Here's a sister here that on Wednesday night, she came to prayer meeting and she had her ankle all wrapped up, all taped up just above her ankle, I guess on her leg. She had a muscle or a ligament or something pulled in there from too much softball. And she wanted prayer for it. We began to pray for her, and the power of God, we knew the power of God was delivered into her body. You could just feel it flowing into her body. And after we'd prayed for her, I said to her, I said, now get up and run. Now, that's always been hard for me to do, and that's an area where I have missed it because I have been operating in not as much faith as I should, and I've been hesitant to tell you, get up and run, get up and walk, because I've been just the least little bit afraid, well, what if something didn't happen? I mean, that's how I felt. You know, I don't want somebody to be embarrassed, most of all me. Now, I don't know all the answers yet, but bless God, I'm learning. Well, God was teaching us that night, see, Wednesday night. And maybe it's because the group was small. Maybe that's one. But anyway, I said to Sally, all right, go on, run down to first base. And I said it kind of joking. Go on, just run down to first base. And I was just half serious and half joking. Well, she got up and started to run around the upper room. And she's running like this. She's running like, you know, like this. But she kept running. She's running like this. First thing you know, she's running like this. Round and round and round and round that upper room. Amen. Amen. You know when she... You know when she got her healing? When she started to run. She called me the next day, and she just praising the Lord, said, I just want to share with you, Vic, what God did for me all day long. It's been fantastic. I just don't have the first pain in my leg, and it was a day off for her. I guess they'd been shopping all day and walking and everything just fine. She just wanted to praise the Lord for it. And I said, you know, that was important that you ran around a room like that, don't you? And she said, yeah, you know, when I started, my leg hurt like fire. And I said, I know you did, but you know if you hadn't gone on that you wouldn't have received your healing. She said, I know it. And I know it too. And many of us have missed it there. We've missed it. We've heard the teaching of the word of the Lord, so we have not been in ignorance. We've heard God's word go forth. We've sat in places where the power of God was flowing. You've been in this place when God's done magnificent things here, but you didn't get anything. You didn't know why. Some of you have learned how to make demand upon the power of God to release your faith, mixing it with the Word. Some of you have been not willing to put action to your faith. Now, the power of the Lord is present here right now to do the same thing that He did for this man at Lystra, to do that which He did for that paralytic in the day that Jesus was ministering. It's the same power. The same power that got your sins washed away is the same power that will cause your diseases and your illnesses and your infirmities to go. But you must mix the preached word with faith. Well, Pastor, you're really putting me on a trip. That means the responsibility is all mine. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, you'll bring condemnation upon the people of God preaching like that. I'd rather have you get healed. I'd rather have you get healed than be deceived. Be happy. You can't get healed apart from releasing your faith any more than you can get saved. You can come here and sit in one of these chairs for the rest of your life and hear the Word of God preached, but if you don't respond to that, if you don't take Jesus into your heart, if you won't confess Him out of your mouth confess Him as your Lord out of your mouth, you'll never be saved. And our churches are full of those kinds of people who have heard the Word but have never made a demand upon God's power and never acted in faith. And that's precisely why our churches are filled also with those that are still sick. Because we've not made demand upon the power of God and we've not released our faith with action. Now, you must know this. God's Word says that Himself, that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. You must know that on Jesus Christ, God laid upon Him all of our sins, and all of our sicknesses. It is not God's desire for you to be sick any more than it is for you to be in sin. They both came from the same place, that is the pit, and they're both solved with the same solution, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you think God wants you a little bit sick, then you'd have to believe that God would want you a little bit in sin. You know that's not true. God wants you whole. And what He's speaking to you today is, this is how it happens. This is how we get it done. This is how my power is delivered to you. This is how my power flows in you. If you'll make a demand on it, receive it by faith. I want you to bow your heads. And I'm going to give you an opportunity here in just a moment to let yourself down through the tiling. Father, quicken the word preached to our hearts. Quicken the word preached to our hearts, Father. Cause faith to rise up strong. Faith that breaks through doubt and unbelief. Faith that renders fear without power. Faith that turns the switch, releasing your power, your ability. Cause faith to rise by the Holy Ghost. Now, Father, we've asked you to speak to us today, and we believe you have. We've asked you to flow among us today, and we believe that you are. We've asked you to manifest yourself mighty in our behalf, and we believe you will. Do that which glorifies Jesus now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to give you an opportunity to release your faith. If you are sick this morning, if you are infirm this morning, I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you to come down. Now listen to me before you step out. Don't come unless you're believing God. Don't come down here trying God out. Don't come down here to put God to the test. God's already been put to the test. He laid your disease and your illness on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so there's no sense you're trying God. There's nothing in the Word of God to give you a right to try God on. Now, you can try God on your finances. Malachi 3:10 says, put me to the test, tithe, put me to the test and see if I won't bless you financially. But there's nothing in the Word of God that says to test Him on this. It says believe Him on this. So I want you to count now in your heart whether you're releasing your faith in the power of God. If you are, I want you to come down here and I want you to stand in front of this altar here, and I'm going to lay my hands upon you. And as I lay my hands upon you, a measure of God's powers will be delivered into your body for a healing and a cure. Now, it won't go into your body unless you're releasing faith. I'm not a miracle worker, but God does work miracles through me to glorify His Son. Not me, and to bless His people. And so I lay my hands upon you as a release of your faith, as a place where you can release your faith, a point of contact where you can say, bless God right then. I know that God's power was delivered to me. And I do that for that benefit, for that purpose. Now, when I ask you to come, I want you to come right then, and I don't want you to trickle down the aisle later on when you see God ministering to people up here. Because when I make this invitation, when you come, that's it. God's going to minister His power today based on your faith, not based on signs and wonders. He's going to bless you because you're believing, not because of what you're seeing. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you see what God's doing up here, then you right where you are. I don't want you to come down the aisle, but right where you are, if you sense faith stirring in you, you reach out and believe God right where you're standing. You see, God's where you are too. He's not just down here. But I don't want you to come down the aisle. Do you understand? The reason for that is I don't want curious people coming down the aisle. I want those that are believing. I want believers coming down this aisle because I want people healed when they come down here. The power of God is present in this place, and it's present to heal you. You. All right, you may come now. Just step out and just come down here. I want you to form, just leave me enough room in front of this altar here to stand in front of you. That's good, Carolyn. Just stand right there. Now, when the altar is full, stay in the aisles, if you will, please. I want one row. If the altar is full, I want you to back up, please, and just stand in the aisle. Let's have an elder at each of these aisles, please. We have an elder over here. James, okay, Dawn, that's it. Just keep folks in the aisles. Yeah, just back up in the aisle so that we'll have some room here to minister. Okay?
You are healed this day of the diabetes that has been in your body. You are healed this day. You are healed this day. You are healed this day of this disease that has been in your body, but I charge you straightforward, my daughter. No longer shall any food pass your lips that would defile your body from this day forth. You are to walk in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered you from this illness. You are to walk in His way, and everything that goes into your body should be for the purification of Jesus Christ. Let nothing enter your lips that would defile your body, my daughter, for you are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now remember what I told you to do. Use what you couldn't use before. Put your faith into action. Now, use what you couldn't use before as you're going back to your seat. If you couldn't run before, I want you to run. If you couldn't bend over before, I want you to bend over. If you couldn't jump up and down before, I want you to jump up and down. If you couldn't lift your arms like this, I want you to lift your arms like that. Whatever it was you couldn't do, I want you to release your faith by so doing. I want you to do it now. Not later, do it right now. Father, we worship you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we exalt your name. We exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus. We do, Father. We worship you. Praise you. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord. We love you for your gifts, Father. We love you for your presence, Lord. We love you for your love manifested to us this day. Hallelujah. 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 Now you just stay there for a little bit, Melody. Don't you be in a hurry to get up. You just praise the Lord. Stay right there. She's fine, Dawn. Just leave her be. She any of you that were prayed for this morning or were ministered to or did not even come down here, but God touched you where you are. And you know, now I'm not talking about you're believing for, I'm talking about you know that God's touched your body and you can do something in your body that you could not do before. I want to see your hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Are there any of you that would want to give a word of testimony and just share what God's done for you? Anybody?
Weeks ago, the doctors told me I had diabetes and then I'd have to take insulin. Well, right then, I claimed that I didn't have it. This morning, the Lord just gave me a witness to that. But the other thing was, all week long, Satan tried to put an awful cold on me. I said, I'm not going to accept this. Well, this morning, when I was over in my seat praying, I said, okay, it's gone for good, and it just left. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This morning I got healed up. I had fluid down in my chest for the longest. I get up every morning, I just cough it up, and I'm sick. I gag it all the time. Praise God, He healed me of that, and I can breathe so much better. Praise
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm pregnant, and ever since I found out that I was, Satan's been trying to destroy this baby.
And I just want Satan and everybody else to know that I'm healed. I have no more pain in my head, and I have no more pain anywhere in my body.
Ever seen anything like this? You might think this is just a bunch of emotional quacks. I want you to know that when God heals your body, you'll know different. Ooh, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I had a doctor tell me after Brent was born that the only thing God did wrong was to make the neck on a woman's bladder small so that it became weakened after children. And I've been healed of the same thing that Carolyn has been healed of, and I rebuke that statement that he made right now. God doesn't make anything wrong. We won't have weak necks on our bladder, and I'm going to be able to run 5 miles. The next time I get out of the church, I didn't want to leave.
You mean you have to run 5 miles to test it out?
Well, I have to get about a mile and a half into it, and then you think, oh, it's awful. But I'm healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, after you get your 5 mile run, you can give testimony to that. Amen.
I'm going to talk for my daughter, but she had a bicycle wreck last week and cut her mouth open and hit her nose real bad. And I asked her if she wanted to come down front so Vic could pray that her nose would be healed. And she told me that it was healed while Vic was preaching this morning.
Thank you.
You got to love him, don't you?
This, you know, like you hear some things are really drastic. This may not be drastic unless it really means a lot to you. But about a year and a half ago, I continually, the only way that the Satan can come against me is that he takes my voice away, because I just like to sing. I sing like all day at home with the kids and everything. And it's just something I love to do. It's a way of praising. It seems like that every 2 weeks I come to choir and I can't sing. And like I had went to a throat specialist a year and a half ago, and he told me I had nodules on my vocal cords, and that the only way that would be stopped was to quit singing, you know. Well, that's like quit breathing. So I couldn't do that. And later it would keep coming back, and I didn't want to go to him because he said if it did not come off that he would have to operate and my voice would never be the same. And I know it may not sound that great. It's just a way of I can praise the Lord. So I didn't want to go back to him, so I just went to another one, and it kept coming back and coming back. And a sister this past week said, I mean, did I realize? And she said, well, you know, that's a bondage. He's trying to do that because that's the way you can praise the Lord, you know. So I said, well, I'm not going. I keep on medicine. And so this morning, even though I'm seeing the voice there, but it hurts tremendously. So when you came this morning, you said, do it. And I didn't want to go back there and sing when everybody's in there praying. But I began singing just quietly, and there's just no pain. And I just prayed. And it's like I just saw those things gone. And now I can praise him. You can't do it anymore.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 This will make a good relic, won't it? When you brought these down, sister, I thought that someone left them down here. They fell off somebody. We'll put that in our closet full of relics. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm impressed to ask somebody this morning if they need to have their sins forgiven and need to be born again, that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, that you've never known Jesus as your personal Savior, and you're burdened with sin, and you'd like to come to Jesus today and let yourself down through the tiling in the roof to get your sins forgiven and to come to know Jesus in a personal way. Let me ask you just to bow your heads a moment, and each of you, I want you just to pray quietly and just meditate upon the Lord. Christians, I want you to be praying for those to whom the Spirit of the Lord is speaking this morning. The mightiest miracle is the new birth. The mightiest work is when an old man becomes a new man. When a child of the devil becomes a child of God. When a sinner becomes a saint. That's the biggest miracle of all. Bless you, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bring conviction upon those that need to know your Son. Minister your love and your concern, but also a deep conviction of sin. We must recognize, Father, we know that we must recognize ourselves as being in sin before we know we need a Savior. And we know that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to produce that conviction. I ask you, Father, to do that not just this morning, but I ask for a deep conviction of sin where it exists in all of our services. In Jesus' name. Now, as every head is bowed and as every eye is closed, this is the most important decision that a person will ever make. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you're not sure whether you do, and you want to make sure, you receive your salvation the same way these people have received their healing this morning. He will do for you in forgiving your sins the same as He has done for these people in healing their bodies. And I give you this invitation now to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you desire to do that, as every head is bowed and as every eye is closed, I'm going to wait just a few moments, and if that's the desire of your heart, I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you just to walk down front. And by so doing, I want you to be saying, I need Jesus in my life. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to have a brand new life. I want to get my sins forgiven. And I want Jesus to come live inside me. And I want to serve Him. If that's your desire, just step out from where you are and just step down to the front here. We must maintain a good profession. We have to maintain a good profession. We must keep the name of Jesus upon our lips. You see, when you're 12 years old, you go to an altar and you give your life to Christ, and then the rest of your life, they tell you that you can live like the devil and you still be all right? No way. You must maintain a good profession. Jesus Christ is Lord, ought to be on our lips every day. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That ought to be a daily confession, not just a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. Amen? All right, now some of you are apparently here that have concerns for loved ones, others, or those who are sick perhaps that are not here are able to receive. You want to release your faith for those people. We're going to have a prayer for that. We're just going to pray for that now and ask God to honor our faith. And what we're going to do is we're going to do like those guys did when they brought that paralytic in and dropped him down through the tiling. We're going to drop our loved ones down through the tiling in the house where Jesus is, and we're going to believe God for their healing right now. How many of you can believe God on that basis? All right? If you can't, don't bother praying. You just put it in neutral, and we'll go on here. We'll come back and pick you up in just a couple of minutes. All right? All right, bow your heads and be prepared to release your faith. Now, Father, we as these friends of the paralytic, we pick up our loved one, and we know that if we can get him into your presence, that he can be healed. But we know, Lord, that your presence is everywhere, that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and there's no place under the sun that he is not everywhere present. We pray, Father, and release our faith on his behalf that your healing would flow into them, based on our faith, not their own. And in the same way that the centurion came to Jesus and said, it's not necessary that you go and touch my servant, but just speak the word and he'll be healed. We believe, Father, that the word spoke today shall cause healing to come to our loved ones. Now we speak the word, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. Be thou set free in Jesus' name. Be thou delivered from thy plague in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And now, Father, by faith in your word, by faith in your Son, by faith in your promise, we give you a praise offering of thanksgiving for the healing that is ministered now to those who we've just prayed for. We thank you, Father, having made our request known unto you, we give you now our thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for healing and for deliverance that has come to those whom we love, those whom we care for deeply. We thank you, Lord, that you care for them and that for your own name's sake and because we've asked it, because of your covenant that you've made with us, that healing is ministered to them. We believe you for it now, Father, and give you thanks. In Jesus' name.